Hi, welcome back to Overdunk, everybody, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, and joined, as always, by Bridget, who just received some pretty incredible news. No, not a Ditto merch drop, but Animal Crossing now has DLC, potentially? More DLC?
Not even potential.
That's true.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Free content update in January. It's been a crazy work week. It's been very stressful. And this, I saw light at the end of the tunnel from getting this news. I can't believe it. Everyone is freaking out, and we needed this as a country and society.
I mean, Animal Crossing did bring healing to a country at one point. Maybe it can do it again. We'll see. Yeah, I mean, maybe even I'm excited about that. That's kind of crazy to think about. But not only Animal Crossing news do we have, we actually have a decent amount of esports related news to talk about on today's podcast, as well as Mega Charizard released. So we got to give it its report card this year. We'll see how well it does comparatively to the rest of the releases that we've had this year. I really enjoyed this segment, by the way. Release report cards are a blast, actually.
I really love them, too. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for the GPA.
Yes.
Year-end review.
I don't know if Unite should be worried or not, but they'll have to be, you know, coming to the office for extra credit or something. We'll assign them an extra release. Give us another set of emblems and we'll boost your grade. Okay.
Nice. Emblems still exist? Oh, yeah.
Pandora's box I just opened, potentially. Before we get into the bulk of the episode, though, just a little bit of housekeeping here at the start. I know we've been kind of sporadic in terms of when we've been live recording the episodes. If you listen to them on like Spotify or watch them on YouTube, it probably hasn't impacted you too much. I know we've been a little spotty about when we're getting them out. But just a heads up, if you are interested in watching the live recordings of these episodes, they will predominantly be right around this time. Like Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern is going to be probably the new time going forward, weekly still. Won't always be that way. Life still happens, but we are moving a little bit. There's like a few things going on that we have to shift for, but also it just lands patch-wise better usually for us. Like, we're not really going to be covering the patch like as soon as we get the notes, but we will be able to talk about it after there's been a couple of days of gameplay on the Pokemon, which honestly for our show is probably a little bit better. Less theory crafting, more talking about the actual impact of said patch, which I think is a good spot to be. But anyway, that's just our basic housekeeping to get out of the way. Bridget, I think we're going to be starting with some esports news. Let's start with what Unite Esports was tweeting about today. So a few things, mostly surrounding LAIC. So first and foremost, let me bring this sucker up on the screen. Drafts has finally been implemented. I think we talked about it on last week's episode, but the tournament mode now has alternating bans, 3 bans per side. Ranked is still going to be that simultaneous blind ban, which I've talked about being fine with, but very excited that tournament mode will be alternating bans. So now we're going to have 6 bans in total, no matter what, seeing as they alternate, unless a team elects to skip one of their ban phases, which I don't know why that would ever happen. But Bridget, how do you feel about we having full-on 6 bans for LAIC and going forward?
Super, super good. I'm glad they actually like acknowledge this, because I feel like it was almost like shadow dropped last week. Obviously, all of the tourney organizers noticed it immediately and were extremely excited. And we actually got the cast Underdunk last week. I think it was probably like the first tournament where we were able to have this like 6 ban format, because prior to this it was still only like the 2 alternating bans in custom lobbies or whatever. So really, really excited about this, and can't wait. It definitely leads to more interesting drafts. Sorry.
Totally. No, I completely agree. That's at least the hope of it, right? That is going to bring more variety or whatever like that. I think when we were casting the tournament, most of the Pokemon that we were seeing kind of get, or even class of Pokemon that were getting hated on a little bit, were the support picks, right? I think there was quite a few support bans during this phase, because, and that was the same case when, I mean, it kind of has been permanently, right? However, it has been similar case kind of for all of draft's lifespan, seeing as it is the smallest roster of any Pokemon available to play, specifically a healing support role. So when you have so many bands to work with, you can set yourself up to have a pretty powerful first pick and getting almost an exclusive in-role after the banning phase. However, I do think this is going to be a pretty cool evolution for Unite Esports. I think at the start, we're going to see some pretty generic bands. There'll be likely a lot of similar six bands that we'll see again and again, but as you get into best of five territories, you get into later on in tournaments, you do see some pretty exciting adaptations. And this just gives a little bit more room for creativity for some of these teams. So I'm pretty excited about this. It's going to be fun. I think we're going to see a few bands never leave that phase, even more so now. You know how, like, in some tournament games, you'd be like, all right, they somehow left Suicune available. You know what I mean? But now that these teams have even more slots to work with, I think especially the first ban on each team might be a pretty generically just good Pokemon. You know, not too much thought into how you're trying to manipulate your team, if you're trying to shut down a specific player, if you're trying to enable your own player to get a specific counter or anything like that. I think we're going to start to see, at the start, at the very least, a lot of just generically good bans, which not a huge problem, to be honest with you.
For sure. Yeah, I feel like it was getting to the point where there have kind of been so many Mons high up, like S plus tier ban worthy, that it was like, it was almost preferable to be second pick, because then you get like two of the broken Mons instead of just one. So I think this balances us out pretty well.
Yeah, 100%. I'm sorry, I laughed at the tweets on my side of my screen. Some positive saying, looks really good. So thank you. Good comments, everybody. Okay, one other, just another announcement, technically. I think we all knew this was happening, but for those of you who are competing in LAIC or potentially wanting to watch it, it will be played with the Groudon map, to the surprise of nobody. But
thank God.
Yeah, honestly, that's more of just a sigh of relief. It's like, okay, good. I can't wait. I cannot wait to see Groudon moments with Lan. I think that is going to be so, so fun. And it's going to be, yeah, it's just going to be a blast. So very, very, very excited for this upcoming tournament. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, first tournament of the season. It's kind of crazy that it does feel like I'm ready to go and get out of the off season, but it's only about 3 weeks away. Like, it's real and it's happening.
Yeah, it is. It is very close. As a person who is traveling to Brazil for this event, I keep forgetting how close it is. But I am excited. I'm very excited about this event. It's going to be awesome. Okay, yes. Scrolling up a little bit. We probably won't watch the video just because I don't know how audio is going to sound or anything like that. But we do have a couple of the awards in now for the fan-voted Unite Esports Awards for the year. Community Choice for the East was given to Vidopo of Zeta Division. Little insider knowledge here, but I heard it was a kind of a landslide victory. So Unite came out, or Unite East came out in numbers to be voting for their boy Vidopo. Runner up at the World Championships, World's finalist is probably the coolest way to say that. So yeah, certainly a lot of swagger on this one for sure.
Yeah, Vidopo looked unreal in that tournament. He kind of always does. Uh-huh. So just really glad he got his flowers. Zeta had an incredible year. I mean, when haven't they? But they really turned it out.
Yeah, it was a blast to watch. His run at Worlds also I found pretty exciting. I don't know if it's actually true if I look back at the numbers, but just from the eye test, it felt like Vidopo had much more of, not a breakout year necessarily, but more so breaking out in terms of pocket picks. Like, it felt like when Zeta was first, when they were Kabichans, right? When they won ACL and then went on to get second at EUIC, it felt like Vidopo was amazing, but was just kind of that Leafeon Zoro 2 trick. But I think now we're starting to see a little bit more dynamic play from them. The Blaziken looked just so phenomenal this year at Worlds. Another one, and this one I think may be not too much of a surprise. Your boy Draken gets the play of the year with the absolute incredible crustle maneuvers happening on Theia Sky Ruin. So Doobsnax walks you through this. Check it out on the United Esports Twitter account. It's pretty sick.
Yes, Crustle Esclave. I mean, I was losing my mind to like the four-man X-Scissor Penta moments by Draken. It just was like, I don't know, so special, especially because obviously we see the Vidopos of the world popping off, but to see like the tank like going sicko mode was just next level. Huge shout out to Draken.
Yeah, there is also truly no one as happy about this as Dupesnax. Ever since this team played as five, which at our first LAN, which, oh gosh, was the first LAN they made it to Yokohama potentially, or first EUIC that had international talent, honestly,
maybe
tough to remember.
EUIC. Yeah.
Right, where they played Kabuchons, right? Either way.
Right, yeah, this was the run back.
Exactly. They were so phenomenal. Dupesnax has not stopped talking about how incredible Kea and Draken are. Like, they are two of his favorite players to ever touch this game, so I was, I was pretty stoked that Draken got so much spotlight, and to no surprise that Dupesnax is the one doing this video. gassing up his boy Draken. But speaking of someone that I think we all should be rallying around potentially in a new setting, my team, Reject, because we both picked one specific team to cheer for, and I picked Reject, and I am absolutely cashing in those chips right now, have added a couple of new players. Yumion added to the team, and Overlord on this team as well. That's right. The North America transplants continue. Slash over there to probably go play with Xingdi. No announcement yet, but that's what everybody's thinking. And now, Overlord joining Peewee, Satake, Haruta, like this, Pavone. This is going to be an incredible team. I cannot wait.
I mean, the aura radiating from the announcement video alone. I love the Japan orgs that always do these like hype videos announcing like the team and like hyping up the players. Like, they just do it correctly. Yes. IMO, like, this is what it's all about to me, is the vibes of the team. So introducing Overlord and Yume as their new pickups in this way is just so hype. Like, oh, I can't wait. I'm excited for the NA League, obviously, but I'm kind of sad for the ACL League too.
Right.
It's just so cool. We have like Slash will be in the SEA League, hopefully, predictably. Now like Overlord confirmed in this league. It's just actually so fun and like, I don't know, it gives me even more incentive to watch those games and cheer for them.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be so fun. Also, RC Overlord on Twitter is crazy. Man's already done the full rebrand. What did I click on? Okay, hold on. I know I'm not verified yet. Relax.
Please verify, please.
Wait, can I buy an Overlord jersey? Hold on.
Wait, pause.
Hold on. Okay, I'll do that off camera. I don't need to be doing that on camera. Either way, so really exciting stuff in terms of news. I think Overlord and Slash going international to play is super exciting. Obviously, we have had some like international transfers before. I mean, Toon Slim, really the first pilgrim to be able to do so, setting the tempo a little bit. But we've had a few players come up from LATAM to play. I think we've had some players in OC in Japan kind of switch around a little bit as well, has happened in the past. But either way, these are some pretty high profile switches, and I can't wait. I mean, obviously, I wish them nothing but the best. And boy, am I really even more excited to cheer for Reject right now. Like, I want them to win the whole
thing. I know. I will definitely be pulled in that direction for sure. And I thought it was nice, even in I think it was Overlord's like big post about joining Reject. He's like, I hope to make like NA proud. And I was like, he still remembers us.
Yeah. Yeah, don't forget us when you're so big.
Big and famous. Already big and famous, but still.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I do think it's hilarious too, with Tun being signed to Reject, being in the announcement video even a little bit, but they were the ones that had that back and forth when Tun like put out the retirement tweet. Overlord was like, no, I wanted to play with you before you go. Yeah! And now they're technically signed to the same org. So personally, I'd be shocked if they weren't duo queuing in some kind of content stream. You know what I mean? I think that is going to be a very, very likely scenario. Maybe Overlord will comfey for Tun's Pawmot. Who knows? we'll see what happens.
It's so massive.
Yeah, I mean, ACL already super exciting, starting right around the same time as LAIC, by the way. It's going to be just so much competitive content all at once. And boy, it's really creeping up on us. So I can't wait.
Lock in.
Exactly. So yeah, I think that kind of sums up the esports news that we got recently. I think just things, yeah, moving forward for LAIC. I talked about a little bit about project stuff, but yeah, I think, you know, things are starting to ramp up finally. Like competitive Unite is back. Sometimes I don't envy the other games, you know, the other pillars where they have like regionals right mm-hmm. away, right after Worlds and everything. And I'm like, no, I like that we have an off season. Like, don't get me wrong. I take the work to cast or anything, whatever, but I'm like, don't get me wrong. I like this little bit of a break. People can play other games, you know, Unite all year is not healthy for it, but
no.
It also gives the game a chance to just kind of deluge releases and things like that, which they kind of have done, you know, without having to worry about tournaments or anything. Not that I'm saying they maybe ever have, but even if they were to do that, then this is a window to do so.
Even like the Groudon map, they've been able to kind of like tweak a little bit prior to the competitive season starting. Mm-hmm. Obviously not like too huge of changes, but I like that they've optimized it, especially prior to tourney season starting. Not to say that they might not keep doing that, but I feel like it's in a good place for the season to start.
It's a great point. Yeah, they're able to do map adjustments, obviously a few more like heavy-handed balance tunes, which you know could be a little more, but that's all right. we are seeing both, so that is really, really exciting. Okay, so let's jump into esports a little bit, talk a bit more generic Pokemon Unite. Halloween events kind of going on. It's crazy. We saw the Hollowares being shown off pretty soon. That's exciting, I guess. Gengar's got a Gaara skin now, which looks
crazy.
It looks crazy. It looks really good. Yet another loot box skin. And I think I missed the Dragapult one. Like, I like half paid attention to it, but I don't think I got it by the end of it. So we'll...
Oh, maybe it just ended. I think there was only like a day left when I was
checking. It just ended or it has like a day or two left. I don't know. We're very short timing, but that's all right. Dragon Bolt hasn't been good for a long time. I don't know if it's going to randomly become good for a while. So it'll be okay. And it's got the Dark Magician skin anyway, so I don't know if I'm ever taking that off.
There you go.
Exactly. Telling myself. But a Pokemon that did release that I actually have been playing a decent amount is Mega Charizard. So let's start talking a little bit about the second new Mega Evolution. I guess I should say fourth Mega Evolving Pokemon in Pokemon Unite, is like the correct way to say it.
Technicality. Yeah, but it's like the second one in our batch of new ones this year, which... We still TBD on what the last two will be, I think, but
yeah, I think I we've seen some leaks. Yeah. I don't know. We can talk about leaks. We don't have to. I don't know. It's up to you. But either way, Mega Charizard X will be where we'll chill for now. You said you haven't gotten the chance to play it yet, right?
No, I'm kind of scared of it. I am not. I was not like a Charizard guy to begin with. Whereas Lucario, I had played Lucario, so I was definitely more inclined to test out Mega Lucario. But especially with all of the support buffs, I'm kind of like, you are going to pry these out of my cold, dead hands before you see me playing Charizard over one of these guys. I do really need to. It's on my to-do list for this weekend is to force myself to play it, but... Mm-hmm. I was going to do it before this, but I was like, oh, Legends EA.
Uh-huh.
What if I did that?
There's a lot of Pokemon games competing for our attention, right? Pokemon Pocket just dropped their new set today. By the way, I've never had this kind of pack luck. I've opened one 10-pack, and then I'd say maybe four or five various packs. But in my first, I opened two packs and then a 10. So I guess in my first 12 packs, I should say, I opened two immersive Blaziken. And I was like, oh my god. I have never had this level of pack luck. I was like, this is crazy. No Crown Racer or anything, but honestly, I was like, this is insane. I can't believe it.
I was watching Husky open hers, and I like had just gotten to her stream. It must have been one of her first 10 packs, and she's like, this 10 pack's not really doing much. And then she gets like the Crown Rare of like the little like flame patch thing. I don't know what I can't remember. I think it gets you like I think it's exactly fire energy.
That. I think it's flame patch.
Yeah.
or something.
Flame patch, you know. You know what it does.
Mm-hmm.
Common item.
Yeah, gets you a fire energy for your discard pile to your active fire Pokemon. Yeah, it's it works really well with Mega Blaziken. it's fun.
There you go.
Potentially Infernape too, for you Infernape enjoyers. Yeah, how quickly we divert into a Pokemon Pocket segment. But I will say, if you have not played Pokemon Pocket in a while, like me, who I've taken months off that game. I think the last like two sets, like even the set before Deluxe Pack EX, I just was not feeling the game. I have always kind of been critical ever since the first set. I was like, all right, some of these cards are strong, but none of them seem like really unique or fun. And then I think Space Time came out, like the Dialga Palkia one. I was like, okay, there's some fun ones in here. I like this. And then Arceus came out, and I was like, eh. And then everything ever since then, I was like, anyway, this is like a new three-pack set, huge set, and there's a lot of fun stuff in it. Like, you could be experimenting and having a blast for a while. Like, I want to make a deck with, like, the discardy guys who, like, do damage, but you have to discard cards from your hand. Like, that seems fun to play with. Like, I don't know. There is some shenanigans afoot, everybody, so...
Yeah, there's one that's like, it does more damage if you have like 1, 3, or 5 cards in your hand.
There's like, two
there's
like
some...
that.
Oh.
Well, there's two, and they're different. So Ludicolo does more damage on the 1, 3, 5, 7, or is it just 1, 3, 5 maybe in hand?
I don't know.
And then, yeah, I think it is. I think it's 1, 3, 5. And then the Love Disc?
Love Disc
does more damage on 2, 4, 6.
Okay.
And just kind
cute.
Of like a little fun synergy, which, you know, I've never thought of those two Pokemon together. However, they do have a certain level of whimsy that I would say is comparable. So I like that. That seems kind of fun.
They're both Gen 3, I think. Yeah. So there you go. Take with that what you will.
Gen 3, too much water, but just enough fish Pokemon.
Hey, that's my favorite gen. Well, really? Alola's up there too, but Gen 3 is very special to me.
Gen 7 is my favorite, and Gen 3 is my second favorite. So
there we go. We were probably born in the same year.
Right, yeah. You and I are just ocean girlies. We like anything
the sea calls to us.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
Had to hold back from breaking out into Moana song. Don't want us to get us demonetized. Okay, let's rally back here a little bit to the release of Mega Charizard X. Socials-wise, this was another pretty tough release, I think, in terms of just impact of the game and people's response to it, right? A lot of people saying, like, this thing is giga broken, it's just no fun to play against, etc., etc. I said it like I was about to start disagreeing. I'm not necessarily disagreeing. I don't know if it's to the extent of the outrage. However, taking a look at Unite API, which only has a couple days worth of data up on Mega Charizard X release, Mega Charizard's sitting at a 59.21% win rate, which in a ranked environment is... I couldn't have summed it up better myself, Bridget. Yikes, that is... That is kind of nuts, but I think we started talking about something else before we got to the point of, have you had the chance to play against Mega Charizard, and how do you feel about it?
I've definitely played against it. I didn't find it... I'm only an Ultra. I think I'm maybe Ultra 3. Have not put in a lot of games, so I don't feel like I've seen it very much, but the handful of times I have, really the worst part, which I feel like is the consensus, is that Blast Unite move, man. It gets it too much.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Too much is probably correct. It's so tough because it has to, right? Like, that's the whole thing.
Right.
That's why you clicked that Pokemon to start the game, is because it does the thing when you press the button. And it's like,
true.
It is challenging. Mega Evolutions, when they're based around the Unite move, are a tricky system. It sucks because I really do think Mega Mewtwo Y and X are a better formula for Mega Evolution. Like, kind of in every way. You still get both your move sets on both of those Pokemon. You Mega Evolve, and it feels like an interactive, fun thing. You know what I mean? Maybe it's not always as much as I'm kind of setting it up to be, but it does feel like you at least have to think about your Mega Gauge, or if you are thinking about it, you're benefiting. You know what I mean? Like, if you are timing it correctly to make at the correct times. And this one is just like, all right, well, you're about to fight, so just click the button and go nuts, you know? And that feels, maybe a little too simple. But I don't know. Feels harder to get more simple than the Mega Mewtwo's, but here we are. I know.
Yeah, and I get, like, I mean, for Mewtwo, why it makes more sense, because it's, like, such an auto attacker that, like, pressing that A button to build that gauge just makes a lot of sense. I just wish it was something, like, more similar to that. I do feel like with an all-rounder, I mean, Mewtwo X is an all-rounder, but obviously it's, like, not quite, yeah, as good as I feel like ADC type beat. So I kind of get why they didn't do that for these two all-rounders, but I just feel like it was a bit of a miss in design. And I think people were so excited for Mega Lucario, and it was so low-key disappointing that the hype around Charizard was just like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to agree. Geez, I just scrolled down. I'm looking at some of these tests. The Mega Mewtwo's doing rough numbers out there right now at the time. Mega Mewtwo X at 46% win rate. Mega Mewtwo Y right around the same thing, which is the other end of the decimal point. Pick rate, they're second and third lowest in the game. I am still the 1% Phalanx pick rate, by the way. I'm still really enjoying that Pokemon on the ranked ladder, but it's kind of just me and Mila. It is kind of funny to see the two megas at the top two in win rate and two megas at the bottom two in win rate is
true.
Interesting metrics. We'll see how it plays out to the rest. My thing with Mega Charizard X is I don't feel like it's too. I think with next week's data, I think this win rate will go down. I don't know how far. It is not Empoleon levels strong. I think it's probably like the basic point. It doesn't feel too overtuned in that way. Fixing the Unite move timer and making it just a little bit lower feels like an easy fix to this Pokemon. And I don't know. I think with similar to Mega Lucario, but I think with Charizard, I feel the effect of it even more. I think. All I hope is that the developers of this game do not see the one move choice lock to the Mega Evolution as a nerf in terms of power level. Because
not at all.
Because I think that, like, you could kind of make that case, right? Which I don't think it is, but you could see how someone could arrive at that. You know, all right, well, Mega Charizard, it is powerful, but it's a little bit weaker because it only has one move option. Like, it's less flexible or whatever. However, I feel like you're not actually detracting from the power level of the Pokemon at all, the way it's tuned. You're just detracting from its fun. Like, you're taking away half of the enjoyableness of playing the Pokemon and trying to replace that with, okay, but when you press the big button, you get more cool impact. I don't know. There's a few positives around Charizard. I will say, I think the new passive is very fun. I like a more lifesteal, brawly style of Charizard. I thought that was kind of cool. And then, of course, like the whole crit-based thing once you Mega Evolve, also quite fun. Just at least for big impact. So, I don't know. There's certain things about Mega Charizard X I like. It just feels a little bit like numbers, and honestly, design philosophy feel like the shortcomings of this Pokemon. I don't know if you're in agreement with me, but before we even get into it, we may as well pull up its report card.
It's time.
It is time.
Get graded. And not in a PSA kind of way.
Yeah, we'll send in Mega Charizard for PSA grading. All right. New release report card. If this is the first time you're tuning into the podcast, we've been doing this all year long. Every single Pokemon that has been released in Pokemon Unite this calendar year, not this competitive season, we are giving a report card. And when I say report card, I'm not saying a tier list. There's no S ranks here. A plus is by far the highest. This is all with the intention of giving Pokemon Unite a GPA at the end of the year in each category. So we'll see what the averages are in each of the rankings and everything. We'll get our stat dunkheads on this. They're going to love it. All right.
That's all of them.
For those of you listening in audio world, we are judging these Pokemon on a few different things. How fun the Pokemon is, how balanced we think it is, with an A+ being this Pokemon is perfectly balanced in the game. It's not too weak. It's not too strong. As Goldilocks would say, it is just right. That would be an A+ ranking, where an F would be it is so giga broken that it wrecks the game, or it is so terrible that it is literally unplayable. Those would be F ratings. There. How well we think the Pokemon delivers on flavor slash theme, its solo queue viability, not necessarily just surrounding power level, but maybe, and how well we think it will do in competitive, its competitive viability. And then our final for fun categories, we give it 5 Hundo Burgers out of 5, potentially, or 0. You get how those work. All right, Bridget, let's start with fun after I've done my little ramble about report cards. How fun do we think Mega Charizard X is? And from someone who hasn't played it, how fun does it seem from the outside looking in?
Considering the fact that I have its license to play, shout out the Pokemon Ambassador Program, and yes. I am quite literally like dreading it. But okay. I am not the target market. Like I don't know if I said this previously or before the show started, like I am not a Charizard girly. That is not my guy. I don't know him really. I think I tried to play him a little bit early days of remote, but it was not vibing. And the thought of the Mega does not like excite me much more in that regard. So not for me.
Right. So
as
you're getting a pretty low rating.
All-rounder we've done is not for me.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I need some more purple background friends on this show.
That's not me.
Okay, for fun rating, it's interesting. I'm trying to think of where I would put Charizard, like just normal Charizard license on a fun rating. And I do think Charizard as a fun rating would probably be like B+ to A for me. Or maybe
okay,
A-.
I would say like a B. Charizard seems like a B. Kind. Like, he is, like, unique. Like,
yep.
I mean, even, like, the move while basic attacks.
Move while you're basic attacking is sick. Mm-hmm. There are very few Pokemon that can do that. They are so fun. As a MOBA, as a whole, that is always a fun thing to do. Shout out to my HOTS friends who really enjoy playing Tracer. just a blast. You can just move while, like, auto-attacking. It's such a good time. So Charizard gets some bonuses there normally, which Mega Charizard can do. However, one of the most things I have fun about playing normal Charizard is kind of the ability to pick, do I want to brawl or do I want to be kind of those mid-range mage style of gameplay? Mega Charizard X chooses the less fun option of those, in my opinion. Its Unite move is the same, but it's not really a detractor in terms of fun compared to the old one, right? Like, it's just a neutral. And its passive is a little bit better. I don't know. I honestly, I think to be generous, you could give this thing a B-, but I think like a C+ might be where you would put it. If I would put like normal Charizard at like an A- level of fun to play, I feel like Mega Charizard slides down a little bit because it is less fun than that Pokemon.
Yeah, I trust your analysis. I was initially thinking like B-, like okay. For the regular guy. It's just like, that's like kind of the bummer about these megas they're releasing now. It's just like the kits are the same. Like that is just like such a huge, it's like the whole kind of thing. I know the mega component is the new thing, but man, we kind of got robbed.
Yeah. It does feel like a bit of a, it feels lazy, right? Like, I think everybody kind of said that when we were theorizing what these Pokemon could be. When we learned they were going to be locked to one move, it was like, okay, why on earth is it going to change, at least in a meaningful way? And basically just giving it a new Unite move is, it does not feel enough. So, yeah, I don't know. I felt like these last two have been pretty big misses, and it's going to reflect like that on the report card. So, balance level. I mean, it's hard to argue with a 60% win rate for a bad grade in the balance level. It feels overpowered. I don't know if it's like giga busted. It's gosh darn strong, though.
I know. And it's like, I feel like I mean, I haven't seen it, obviously, in a tournament, so I don't really know how, like, competitive players are feeling about it necessarily. I assume it's a jungle mon. Yeah. I guess I don't even freaking know. I mean, it's still Charizard at the end of the day, mm-hmm. with some passive changes. So I don't know. Like, I could see C here as well.
Ooh, I was thinking even lower. I was thinking like I was thinking like a D plus.
Okay. Dang. I like this harsh grading.
I mean, I think it's too strong. Like, it's not F. Like, Empoleon to me is F, right? Like, that is where it would land. I think D plus is like, hey, this thing's too strong. And again, Charizard, ever since that Unite move buff that it got ages ago where it can grab unstoppables and stuff, like, I don't know, that alone just makes it so unfun to play against and feels more broken than it potentially is, you know what I mean? So
that's fair.
I'm putting this thing in a D plus.
Yeah, get him. I think I'm just, like, being more, because I've been reflecting a lot on, like, the EX mons when those were
that parallel
at large. And it's like, okay, obviously they're IMO not on the same level. Plus, we have bans once you're out of Ultra, which, like, softens that blow quite a bit.
For sure.
But it's, like, same, it's, like, similar energy, but I would say not as bad as EXs. So that's why maybe I'm being more graceful.
I mean, certainly not as bad as like Zacian or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Science D in our chat say balance level F, why am I being altered every 30 seconds? That's why it's in D territory. All right, that's why it's in D territory. But do you remember when Empoleon Hydro Cannoned you for 4,000 damage? That was F.
It's slightly all about perspective.
And that was on a 6-second cooldown, not 30 seconds. Okay, next category, maybe a redeeming category for Mega Charizard X, by the way. Flavor/theme. I will say they put the fire back to blue while you're alting. Yep. So that alone is going to give it some points. That's sick. I like that a lot. I like that Mega Charizard X being the dragon type, the more brawler, having crit-based damage. I think all of those are kind of successes. And I think you said it in a different category a little bit earlier. At the end of the day, it's still Charizard, right? Like, it still feels like Charizard, still plays like Charizard. And now it's just blue and cool looking. And its Unite move does some cool damage. So, honestly, I think it does pretty well here.
Yeah.
You know what would make it do awesome? Is if it had dragon moves. If you gave it Dragon Claw while it was ulting or something. Or anything to change the moves. So, for that, I'm going to say B. How do you feel about B?
I feel good about that. Honestly, Blue Flames alone.
Blue.
Chef's such a good touch. I mean, it's kind of like an obvious choice, but it is, it's nice. She's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right. Solo queue viability. Listen, you get this thing in solo queue, then you're feeling pretty great. A plus?
I don't see how it could be. Well, you've probably played it in solo queue.
I genuinely think this passive does, like, helps you more in lane than the other one.
Really? I was curious.
I think so.
I could see it going either way, because he is a lot tankier, I guess.
Because he like self-damages a little bit, but also you're getting a decent amount of healing at any given time. So, I think if you're playing the melee set, it works pretty well for lane comparatively. Like, the nice thing about the range set for jungling is you can just like toss your spells onto the objectives and keep moving. Like, you clear really fast. It's not always the case with Blitz Punch. So I think it does even better in lane. So I think we give this thing what, A plus maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why.
Yeah,
why the heck not?
Yeah, what point can we take away from this Pokemon?
What's bad? Like, you don't really need any help, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is still a level, like a late game scaler, if you will. That could be the only, like, maybe a patch or two where this thing gets adjusted, all of a sudden it's like, hey, you might want a duo with you or something in lane, but I think it goes from A plus to like A at that point. competitive viability. This is an interesting one. Charizard, okay, keep in mind, Charizard was weird at Worlds this year. When Charizard was all the rage at Worlds, had some weird numbers, was not doing great in the win rate department.
Okay, I was like, I do not remember Charizard.
It got picked a lot in day one and didn't do great. And then like kind of got exposed a little bit and then did weaker going on to the day two. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's more exposable, right? Like, listen, you see an early pick Mega Charizard X. It's like, all right, let's grab our Slowbro. Let's grab our Mimikyu. You know, like let's do the little rock, paper, scissors between like super alts, like that grab. I don't know what else to say it. But like, yeah, like lockdown.
The god
alts. That's a good one. the Unite Pantheon is Charizard, Slowbro, and Mimikyu. What a terrifier. Terrifying.
Yeah, they're actually all scary.
Happy Halloween.
This is the scary portion of the podcast for the holiday.
I pray to the disguised ugly god. Who do you pray to? Okay, so yeah, competitive viability, I would say it's lower. However, this thing is going to get banned so often that it feels weird to drop it down too far from that. And maybe if you're picking it Charizard in competitive, you want to have the option of both moves?
Yeah, pending maybe where you're picking it at.
Is there a world I give this B+? Or is that way too low?
I was going to say B, but...
Okay, that... I think let's settle on B+.
The whole ban of it all makes it a little harder, because I would say if it's getting banned out, that means it's like... It would be played.
Right. Yeah, if given the option, which that's not always the case. There's a lot of tournaments where you're like, all right, Suicune ban every time. And then like, it's not. You're like, okay, here it is. And like, all right, we're on the fourth pick and no one's picked Suicune yet. So
it kind of becomes like a boogeyman kind of thing where it's like, oh, the thought of it is scary. But then in practice, you're like, we wouldn't even want it. Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
All right. Well, letter grades wise, we're kind of all over the place. We got for fun in the C range, balance in the D range, flavor in the B, solo Q in the A, comp in the B, Hundo Burger level. I think Empoleon's still the record holder for lowest, getting a 1 Hundo Burger out of 5 for what that did to our game and our psyches, as Science D was saying in chat. I don't think this is 1. I don't like, listen, I've actually enjoyed playing it. It's Charizard. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, every now and then I think like we should all just throw Pokemon Unite a bone and be like, hey, we get it. You guys need money. It's Charizard. Like, fine. Do your thing.
They hit the Charizard button. They had to.
Like, go off, Timmy. Do the Charizard thing. I might hit it again. Like, we'll see.
Well, yeah. I do find it interesting. Like, it's like, been fun to see like the mega promotion across like all the titles, totally. Like the Tark card game kind of got, like, spotlighted Gardevoir and Lucario, like now in Pocket we're getting like Gyarados and Altaria and Blaziken, and in Unite we've had like Lucario and Charizard. I don't feel like Charizard has like been across the board as much as some of the other guys.
Yeah, that's
so
ours. Charizard's ours.
Yeah, we got the Charizard button. So I don't know. I've found that like interesting. So
yeah, TCG had the Absol button most recently, I think, too.
Oh,
that,
really?
That deck's doing really well. Yeah, Mega Absol EX is a strong meta contender, but all the other ones you mentioned are also very good. It's Mega Absol. Yeah, it's the third tentpole in there.
I'm just thinking of like the guys on the boxes.
I do think
Bird is next. I don't know if it's Y or X, but I think he's on the come up there for physical cards. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't really know, like, what this has, like, has this really brought people to Unite? I feel like there was so much hype around Megas, as there often is, but I don't know if it's hang off.
I don't know either. It's been an interesting marketing cycle with this Pokemon too, because it felt like they were Unite was hitting the ground running with the marketing in the lead up and sort of through Lucario release, kind of, but it feels like since the Lucario release, they kind of like take their foot off the pedal. Like, we didn't see a lot of like promos with Mega Charizard X or anything like that, which tough news cycle for Pokemon news to get out, right? Like, I mean, you're contending with ZA release, which Charizard, Mega Charizard X and ZA release like same day? No, that can't be right. A week apart?
It was
like, very close.
The belt released on the same day as ZA. So I think they maybe did that intentionally. They're like, no one will notice.
Yeah, just put the belt in.
ZA. Yeah, sneak it in.
No one will care. And then in retrospect, it'll be like, because of ZA.
I for some reason remember that is correlated though. So
right.
Thank you, Timmy. But I don't know. I would say this was a very middle of the road for me. I could do two or three burgers for Charizard X.
Okay. Let's stick with two. I think we've been predominantly negative on this Pokemon. So I think two fits the bill a little bit more. On a made up spectrum completely. Like, this is probably one of those we give it a 2.5, but we don't do halves here as a, just kind of a principle thing.
Ethically, we're against a half a burger.
Morality wise, spiritually wise, we just want to make sure we're only doing whole burgers.
It's a hundo burger, not a 50 burger. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Put disgusting. It away. Oh, I thought I'd be like hearing it. But yeah, okay. Well, for wrap up, everybody, Mega Charizard X report card is as follows: fun at a C+, balance level at a D+, flavor/theme at a B, solo queue viability A+, competitive viability B+, and it has received 2 hundo burgers out of 5. Not too bad. There's some positives about this Pokemon, right? I do think looks-wise, it kind of knocks it out of the park. Wish that Mega Charizard X carried some of the Hollowares with it onto the next stage, of course.
That is
which
such a miss.
Would be great. Again, it feels like maybe these were a little rushed, and I think that would probably take some more work. So sad to see that that's not the case, but surely there'll be a lottery machine one day where I can do that.
That will be in the...
Yeah. That'll be in the gachapon called machine.
The prize machine. One of them, throwing the balls. Yeah.
Yep. I'll go spend 800 gems on it later, but for now, it'll just be, at this point in time. But yeah, flavor-wise, I think it does fine. It's a solid Pokemon. I do think you get this one faster, seemingly, from Mega Lucario, from what I can tell. I was like doing the like, because again, I was gifted a license from the community ambassador program. So thank you so much to Pokemon. Just our disclaimer. But I do think I was moving through the missions a lot faster. It's a little deceptive, like how quickly you get little pieces or whatever, but it does feel quicker than the like punching the rock. So I'm happy.
And I do like what Dee said. It is nice that we're not like doing the board game again. Like it's like, same concept, but at least like visually slightly more appealing to me. I did kind of laugh when like my Lucario would like just like hit the rock.
And the hit is so generous. Like he just slid over.
he just like PNG'd over.
Nice. Like, remember when Cramorant used to walk down a road?
I loved walking my Cramorant. Dang it.
They should bring that back for anniversary. That would be awesome. If they just brought back, they're like, guys, for anniversary, you're never going to believe it. You can walk your crap around. Like,
that was a daily. I would probably, if that was like part of my dailies, I'd be walking my Cramorant all the time.
I think it'd be awesome if like a walk your Phalanx. That'd be kind of fun.
I want the China mode lobby. I want to take pictures.
For real.
With the ZA, camera has made me want like that in Unite so bad.
I know.
Like,
you can put your Pokemon in cool outfits in our game too. Which is sick.
It's so much better.
It is crazy. They're giving us they're drip feeding us China content, right? We're getting
the store.
The store's the most recent one. The Charge Bug Shuffle right before that, which we only talked a little bit about on this podcast, by the way. I actually love that game mode. I don't know if anybody's got to play it. It's actually pretty fun. Halloween game mode is back, by the way. We didn't talk about too much about that. I got my Shuppet icon pretty quickly. I think like 4 or 5 pulls.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
did you do that? Oh, you get it from the pumpkin machine?
Yeah, but it's like a slot machine, so you just got to hope you pull it. It's like, from maybe there's like a mercy system in it. I don't know, but it's like not in the exchange, which I was a bit bummed about, so I was worried, because Banette's my favorite Pokemon, so I'm like, I'm going to get any piece of Shuppet merch I can in this game, and I got the icon. So that is going to be my icon until Banette comes out. And then that will be my icon. We also, last episode we talked about icons, by the way, Bridget, and I was like, I hope they do more Pokemon. I don't know if you noticed. I noticed like the first time after we talked about it, I was like, oh, when the splash screen advertising the icons has like a Jigglypuff and a Eevee on it. So
clearly
they're planning on doing more of them. It's just the Kanto starters of the first release or something. I don't know, but surely we'll get more. It'd be so fun. You do all the icons. I think it'd be really fun if they did, the solo challenge where you could fight, like, the notable trainers. I think that'd be really cool. Like, could I use, like, Leon or Green or somebody as, like, my player
if you,
icon?
Beat the Cynthia. Fun. Yeah.
Yeah, Cynthia, Karina. Like, that'd be really cool. I don't know. I'm pumped about icons, you know? I'm all in on icons.
I love a customization, man. Yeah. I am deep in it right now with ZA. How I mentioned, I've been playing ZA. It is it's pretty nice. And I must say, the trainer fits, the little Meowscarada one, and like the Tinkerbell like fairy one are so freaking cute. I wish we had more free stuff, but it's fine. Yeah. I will use the rental. I will use the rentals I get, and then use that to satiate me to not actually buy them.
In the last month or so, I have come to a newfound realization that I really like the rentals. I'm like, I have like four of these rentals together. Like, and I play so many different Pokemon that I'm like, I don't really care about not owning the like loot box skin or whatever, because I mean, I'm going to play for the next few months. I will have that skin ready to go based on rentals.
Yeah.
And stuff. So
I honestly like I'm excited when I get the rental box. I'm like, sick.
Yeah, exactly.
This is all I needed, because I'm not doing that. I'm not going all in.
Right,
after
I'll spend these tickets
on
the thing.
I'm burned. I'm cut off. I failed, and I spent so much money.
Yeah, I'm kind of just doing the free-to-play one now, hoping that maybe I catch lightning, you know, and get the lucky bus still.
Someday.
Have yet to do that on any of my, any of these ones I've attempted, but maybe one day. I think that basically brings us to the end of the episode. Do we want to talk about the two leaked at megas, or do you want to save that for a different episode?
We can maybe save it for next
Sounds
week,
good.
Perhaps.
Cool. All right. Well, next week, if there's not an official announcement about two of the new releases, we'll talk about it. And we do have dates for Delmise and Vaporeon. They're going to be releasing like almost back to back in November, like a week apart, essentially. So look out for another all-rounder, but a defender who's got healing in its kit. So kind of an Umbreon-esque supporting evolution. That one actually, Vaporeon looks really fun. I'm not going to lie. It's never been one of my favorite evolutions, but seeing its kit in Unite, I'm like, okay, this could be a blast, actually. So
that was such a like a drive-by shooting at Vaporeon. Didn't find that super necessary, but it's fine. I'm pretty excited for Delmise, too, because even though it's another all-rounder, God help me, it looks like very, very fun. And I love a weird, quirky guy in Unite. So I am actually here for the Delmise release.
Yeah, it's been too long of a stretch of just like powerhouse, mythicals, legendary, like megas, you know, we're hitting too many of the worn out paths. It's time for the
hook.
Exactly.
The hook.
Also, chat, a volleyball teammate of mine in chat is threatening me about paying for. However, we have a bye week this week, so I'm not playing volleyball on Sunday. So take that, frog. All right. That'll bring us to the end of the episode this week, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back next week. Remember, on Thursday, for those of you who want to watch the live episode recording, to talk about, potentially new releases and whatever other news we got. We'll see y'all then. Bye-bye.
Bye.